If you remember anything from this homily, I hope that you remember these three things. One, don't become complacent in your faith. Keep God's commandments and choose eternal life in heaven. In the first reading, we heard from the prophet Amos, who prophesied in Judah about 700 years before Jesus. And his message applies to us today as much as it did 2,700 years ago. Listen to the opening statement again. Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, woe to the complacent in Zion. In Old Testament times, Zion referred to Jerusalem and its inhabitants, and then later it also referred to the hill that the temple was built upon. So Amos is referring to the people of Jerusalem. So how are they being complacent? Well, according to Webster, to be complacent is to be marked by self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. So Amos is concerned with this attitude of self-satisfaction. He's concerned that the inhabitants of Jerusalem are unaware that their lives of easy living, of wealth, and of luxury are putting their souls in danger. Now, I'm not saying that wealth and luxury are inherently evil, because they're not. But the results of these things, the complacency, the self-satisfaction, the indifference, those things have caused them to become selfish. The inhabitants of Jerusalem were not concerned about the moral collapse of their society. All they cared about was their personal wants. As long as they had what kept them occupied with their own pleasure, they really didn't care what happened to anyone else. Nothing mattered except selfish pleasure and entertainment. Sound familiar? So that was the prophet Amos. Now let's look at Paul's letter to Timothy. He begins by urging Timothy to lay hold of eternal life and to keep the commandment without reproach or stain. This is the very same choice that God gave the Israelites when he said in Deuteronomy, "I have today set before you life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, loving the Lord your God and walking in his ways, keeping his commandments, you'll live, and the Lord your God will bless you. If, however, your heart turns away and you don't obey and are led astray and bow down to other gods and serve them, I tell you today, you will certainly perish." Next, Paul reminds Timothy of his noble confession. Like Timothy, you and I are called to be men and women of God through our noble confession. On the day we were baptized, our parents, or we, made a noble confession of faith to reject Satan and all he has to offer. And we make a similar confession every time we pray the creed at Mass. This noble confession is our rejection of Satan and our profession of faith in the Holy Trinity, of God the Father, in God the Son, and in God the Holy Spirit. But because we're human and we fall short, Paul reminds Timothy and us of our Lord's noble confession. Jesus truly and absolutely rejected Satan and all of his vile lies. Thankfully, because of Jesus' noble confession, because he nailed our sins to the cross, we're able to return to him. But only after we've rejected the lies and the emptiness of what Satan, the enemy of our souls, has to offer. So with a contrite heart, we're able to receive God's mercy, his forgiveness, and our redemption. Finally, in Luke's gospel, Jesus brings all these elements together in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, a parable that clearly explains to us that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And the choices that we make, that you and I make every day, have a direct impact on where we will spend our eternity. At the beginning of the parable, Jesus introduces us to the rich man. We hear that he's dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dines sumptuously every day. Sounds strikingly similar to what the prophet Amos described, the complacent of Zion, doesn't it? Then Jesus introduces us to the poor man, Lazarus, lying at the rich man's door, hungry, where dogs come to lick his sores. Lazarus is lying at the rich man's door. I can only imagine the rich man choosing to walk past him or step over him every day, ignoring him, not offering him any help. Jesus is addressing this parable to the Pharisees, and I wonder if they recognize the irony, because it was just a few chapters back that Jesus gave them the great commandment to love your brother, to love your neighbor as yourself. Next, both men die. And the poor man was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham, clearly a reference to heaven. And then, on the other side of the great chasm, the rich man finds himself in the netherworld, in hell, in torment. The table is turned. Lazarus is no longer the poor beggar at the rich man's door. He's now in the bosom of Abraham, in heaven. And the selfish, complacent rich man has become the beggar, begging Abraham for Lazarus to help him ease his torments in hell. This parable is extremely important for us today. It reminds us that although we've been saved through the sacrifice of the cross, you and I still have a choice to make. A choice between good and life, and death and evil. A choice between heaven and hell. So, my friends, I leave you with this. Don't become complacent in your faith. Keep God's commandments and choose eternal life in heaven.